From Cortland, New York, America's smallest small city, it's the Nerd Bomber Podcast, featuring the best news, entertainment, and related discussion that pop culture has to offer. And now, your hosts and experts in anti-social media, Just Jamie and your friend Claude! Ladies, gentlemen, millennials, welcome to the Nerd Bomber Podcast. I am your friend Claude, and I'm joined today via phone by none other than
Cousin Adam.
And on today's episode, we will be sharing with you our most intensely traumatic moments from various forms of entertainment over the years, including, of course, movies, TV, and what have you. But first, we got some catching up to do. Cousin Adam, what have you been up to lately?
Should I even tell you what I've been up to? Basically nothing. No, you know, I'm working from home, and I have been since March, so I'm getting kind of stir crazy. I'm reading a lot of books about racism and being anti-racist, things like that. So I feel like it's good to educate yourself in these times. I've been watching a lot of TV shows on Amazon Prime and Netflix, and basically just surviving, you know. We got a new TV. That was cool.
Nice.
I love my new TV. My mom retired, so both my parents are now retired and have tons of time on their hands, so they're going to come up and visit us a lot more often, which is good.
Yeah, I saw that post that she made.
Yeah, not much. What have you been up to?
My COVID cabin fever is over, and I'm back to work.
Yeah, as I say, you're working now, so that's kind of good, I guess.
Emphasis on kinda.
yeah, kinda.
Found out today that the university where I work suddenly went from one case to 18, so that's fun.
Yeah, no, I've been hearing that. A lot of, colleges, like, the kids aren't really doing the smart thing. They're having parties, so it's happening actually in a lot of places, so it doesn't really surprise me.
Yeah, I walk by one almost every day, and even in the morning on my way in, sometimes I see them pouring out of this one house in particular. It's crazy. Ugh. And now the gym on campus is, like, literally across the hall from where I work. Like, it's designed to be, we are the dining hall thing for, like, the gym area, so we're kind of the healthy dining hall. And It's just swarming with people as if nothing ever happened, except they all have masks on.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, that helps, but. You know.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of time.
Well, how the hell are you supposed to run on a treadmill wearing a mask or whatever? You know what I mean? I think that's kind of crazy. I feel like I wouldn't be able to breathe.
Yeah, I saw it tonight. I mean, you would never even. It looked just normal, except the mask. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd probably die only because I'm fat. So that's the other thing, too. I'm kind of fat now.
Well, I put on the quarantine 30. Where are you at?
I'm on the quarantine like 70, I think.
Dang.
I don't think it's not quite that much. It's probably, I would say it's around like 40, probably 40 or 50. It's been what, like 6-7 months now. So it's not
right
out of the realm of, but yeah, we started actually walking tonight. We're actually going to buy an elliptical machine to put in our house so that we can just exercise in the morning when we get up. So hopefully by next summer I will be smooth and svelte, like, you know, circa 1997 Adam.
Dang.
I'll tell you right now, 1997 is actually a factor in one of the things that traumatized me as a child.
Would you like to lead off with that one?
Sure, I guess I could. This actually is not the first one. This is actually the last one that happened to me, I believe. But it does have to do with 1997, a specific date in 1997, mind you. It might be August 29th, 1997. And the traumatizing factor was Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Its face, Stay here. I'll be back.
They know its mission. But there's one thing they don't know. This time, there are two. Terminator 2.
Oh, okay.
Now, the whole movie didn't traumatize me. It was one particular scene in said movie that traumatized me. Now, I went to see this with my dad when it came out in the theaters. So it was summer of 91. So I just turned 10. Okay. Might not have been the best parental decision he made by taking his 10-year-old son to see a rated R Terminator 2. However, he, you know, the violence and the swearing was never really like a big thing with them. And even, you know, from 1991 standards, the violence wasn't that bad.
Right.
Except for one part in the movie. And the part that really just did it in for me was when Sarah Connor, they escaped to Mexico. She falls asleep at the picnic table and she has a dream about the nuclear holocaust that happens on August 29th, 1997, otherwise known as Judgment Day, in the movie. And it was a very detailed scene of what happens in a nuclear, when a nuclear bomb goes off in downtown Los Angeles. You know, with like the people catching on fire, the people getting kind of like blown apart by the blast wave. Her dream ends with her holding the fence and shaking it, and she's on fire, and then the blast wave just blows off all of her flesh, and it's just her skeleton standing there holding the fence. That really freaked me out when I saw that when I was 10 years old. And I actually felt like throwing up in my popcorn bucket. So
I knew as soon as you said Terminator 2, that was going to be that scene. It's yeah. I mean, I have seen that movie one time in my life. You know, that's the part that freaked me out the most as well.
Yeah. I mean, even like the other violent things that happen in the movie aren't that bad. They're violent, you know, don't get me wrong. Like there's a scene, you know, where he's imitating John's stepmother, and it kind of, the camera pans back and you see that, you know, he's used his arm as like a sword and like impales the guy right through the mouth and the head, you know. I mean, that's pretty violent, but that kind of stuff didn't really bother me that much. My reaction to that was probably more like, oh, that was gross, and then I just like moved on. But man, that freaking scene. And the thing, and the weird thing about that too, is that, you know, when I was 10, I mean, I knew it was a movie and it wasn't real, but it's like, could that really happen? So I started getting in my head that that was going to actually happen someday. Of course, as I got, you know, as 1997 came along, it didn't, you know, really, you know, we were older at that point and obviously I knew it wasn't going to happen. So kind of, you know, August 29th, 1997 kind of passed with an afterthought, you know, that, oh yeah, this is the day, whatever, and I did something else. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So it didn't, but like, yeah, as a kid, that like really traumatized me. I was just like, ugh. I felt sick when he left the movie, and you know, my dad's like, "Did you like the movie?" And I'm all like, "Yeah," but yeah, that was it. That's the first thing on my list.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's a hell of an opener. It's definitely qualifies.
Yep, a nuclear holocaust where, as she said in the movie, the people fly apart like leaves.
Yeah, yikes. All right, I'm going to, for my first, I'm going to go chronologically, I think. And I'm going to take you back to the summer of 1985. And it was the very first movie I ever saw in the theater, and I've talked about it on the show before. But today, we're really going to get to explore the moment that introduced me to the concept of movie terror. And the film in question is, of course, E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
E.T. returns July 19th.
that summer it had been brought back for a second run in theaters because it was so successful 3 years earlier. And of course, I'm. I mean, you talk about a 10-year-old in a Terminator movie? Absolutely, probably inappropriate. A 3-year-old in a Spielberg Alien movie? Yeah. It didn't really go over so well. The particular moment was the cornfield scene where Elliot's got the flashlight and he's kind of looking around, and then goes into the cornfield, and then just bang! All of a sudden, you get ET and screaming, and then Elliot screams and then shows. E.T. freaking out. And as soon as that happened, I fucking jumped out of my chair. I tried to crawl behind my mom's back, and like, she was like freaking out because I was freaking out and causing a scene. I was pissed because she wouldn't let me get back there and scared the living shit out of me and set up a lifelong weird love-hate fascination with E.T. in general for me. I've got stories and stories throughout the years with E.T. being scared by different things about him, but that is where it all started.
Yeah, I do remember that. That's probably one of the first jump scares I ever had in a movie because it happened so suddenly, you know. And, you know, parts of that movie freaked me out, too. It didn't, like, traumatize me because I always liked, you know, how it ended and, like, he got away and everything. But the part that freaked me out was when the brother finds him, like, laying, like, practically dead in the river. And he turned, like white. And you're like, oh, no, he's dead. And it's just, like, that kind of freaked me out, too. But, yeah, for some reason, that the movie... Like, there were parts in stuff like that that scared me, but for some reason, it never took to me, you know. I never really was affected by it. I like to watch it, you know, over and over again. So, yeah, but no, I totally get it.
Yeah, I've never, for whatever reason, it never made me not watch it. So, it was almost like, I guess it's as close as I'll ever come to feeling what people who really like horror movies feel. Where they, like, they know it's, like, you're going to freak them out or whatever, but they, like, get off on that. I don't know. I guess it's my first introduction to fear adrenaline.
It's not my thing.
Mine either. I still, E.T.'s about as far as I got.
That's a real thing, and I hate the fear adrenaline. I don't really like it.
Same.
But it's not like a, I'm more of, like, an endorphin junkie, not, like, an adrenaline junkie. So
absolutely.
A thing? I don't even know.
Same here.
Cool.
Well, back to you, sir.
Okay, well, back to me. It's going to be... I'm going to save the worst for last. So my next one is actually a TV show. And, you know, this TV show, I believe, just got rebooted on Netflix, but it's Unsolved Mysteries.
Tonight on Unsolved Mysteries, the story of a lonely housewife in Maine who searched for love in her newspaper's personal columns. 2 years ago, she went on a blind date. And vanished. In Gulf Breeze, Florida, 135 people claim to have seen UFOs. They have photographs and a videotape to verify their claims. Close encounter or a hoax? We'll also examine the case of a man awaiting trial for the murder of two teenage girls. Joe Shepherd has escaped. Perhaps you can help catch him.
That really freaked me out when I was little. Now, I don't recall being like, hey, Mom, when is Unsolved Mysteries on? Let's watch it. Because, you know, it's a little Adam we're talking about. I think what happened was it just happened to be like on after something else, like my parents were watching. Like, I don't remember what the specific lineup was. I think you'd mentioned before it was like Rescue 911 was on before that or something like that.
Probably at one point. I mean, I'm not sure how the lineups went, but I know that they were both like the same type of structure. They're the reenactment shows or whatever. And I definitely remember watching them very close together throughout my childhood for sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, my dad always watched, he liked to watch the ABC World News, you know, with Peter Jennings or something. So it was probably just like on after that. They just didn't like change the channel or they weren't paying attention.
Right.
But anyway, it was a specific episode. I don't remember too much of it, but it had something to do where like these people like murdered somebody and then they like kidnapped the other person and put them in a trunk of a car and like drove around with her or something like that. And for some reason, like, I guess I was just coming into my understanding of what being murdered actually meant. But I remember being scared about this for like a week. Like, I thought people were going to come to our house and like murder me, or they were going to like murder my mom and they were going to throw me in the trunk of a car or something. And I just remember being awake like night after night, just thinking about this and stewing about this and just being completely freaked out about it. And yeah, I told my parents about it, you know, about how I was scared, and like, they're all, oh, we'll never watch that again. And like, they don't, like I said, I don't think they consciously were watching it. I think it was just, they left the TV on or something, you know?
Right.
I just happened to be sitting there on the, you know, on the floor in the living room watching this episode about people getting murdered and the murderers getting away. And I think that's what really got me, is that they didn't catch the murderers because it was an unsolved mystery. So the murderers were still out there and the murderers were going to get me, you know? I was just like, oh, freaked me out, man. Freaked me out.
Yeah, it's really easy, I think, for kids who, like you said, are just coming into their own kind of grasp on these concepts to almost like personalize it and, you know, like actually live the trauma of this in their own minds, like, because there's no real framework yet for like the difference between, you know, this is just telling you about something that happened versus like, this is something that could happen any minute.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, like you said, the unsolved mysteries part of it is that it's a real thing that happened.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like some guy got murdered in a movie. Oh, that's just fake. But like, no, this dude got murdered and then the wife got kidnapped by like unsolved murderers and they were going to get me next.
Well, the other part of that particular show for me that it kind of goes along those same things, it was like hard for me to kind of process, was like, I for a long time, like, I thought that this was actual footage of the real event. Like, I didn't understand how they got it, but like, I was like, oh, they're showing me exactly what happened to these people.
Yep. It's that guy with the mustache. So then I was like scared of anybody who had a mustache.
It's kind of along the same lines of, while I'm talking about embarrassing perceptions, I also used to think when I was a kid that the music on the radio was that the bands were in, like, at the radio station set up and playing. And they would just like end their set and like tear down and the next band would come in.
Well, that's very specific. You know, I always thought that when you went to the video store to rent a tape, that they would send you the tape later and you got to keep it or something like that. like the initial renting was just you watching it to see if you liked it. And then if you liked it, they would give it to you later. I don't know why.
That'd be awesome.
Never popped into my head. I don't. Wouldn't it be cool?
Probably all those Time Life commercials when we were kids or something.
Yeah, I know. Oh.
Imagine if they did that if you rented an episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, God. It haunted the rest of my days. So what's your second thing?
Even though this isn't chronological in terms of when the movie's released, it's chronological in my life. The very next movie... It was a movie that traumatized me. Was very soon after E.T., within a year or two. Somehow, I guess The Wizard of Oz was on TV or something. And everything was fine until the flying monkeys showed up.
I do believe in spooks. I do believe in spooks. I do, I do, I do, I do, I do, I do.
You will believe in more than that before I finish with you. Take your army to the haunted forest and bring me that girl and her dog. Do what you like with the others, but I want her alive and unharmed. They'll give you no trouble, I promise you that. I've sent a little insect on ahead to take the fight out of them. Take special care of those ruby sippers. I want those most of all. Now fly! Fly!
And like, I thought, I mean, I'm like 3 or 4 years old. I thought that these were like actual creatures, like these creepy ass short little monkey faced flying creeps. Like, And it wasn't even like the part where they're like in the sky, because you can't really tell what's going on, but it's the part where they're in the castle and they're like walking around her and like jumping on the windowsill and all that stuff. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, that's when they were like freaking out, man. Like they weren't like when they were flying, it was like whatever. But yeah, when you're like, ooh, ooh, and they're like jumping, you're like, oh, settle down, monkey.
Well, you can suddenly like see their face and like you could see them like in detail. And it didn't compute that, like, you know, again, I'm so young that I have no framework to understand that, like, I mean, I recognize what people look like the people in the movie are like, okay, I've seen people, but what I see this thing and I'm just like, what? And then I see it like ripping apart the Tin Man or whatever. And I just, it's too much.
Well, that's the thing too. Like even the people that are in it, it's like, well, okay, that's a Tin Man, but that's obviously a man.
Right.
You know, like that's the Scarecrow. That's obviously a person.
Right.
The lion, you know, talks like a person, you know, but those freaking monkeys, they're like making noises and freaking out and stuff. And it's like, settle down, monkey. You know, I got you on that one. Well, you know, it's funny. I should actually have put The Wizard of Oz on the list because I completely forgot about this. So we'll just say it's like my honorable mention. But I wasn't freaked out by the monkeys. I was freaked out by the Wicked Witch. Like, she scared me for some reason, and I was fine with the monkeys. And a lot of people that I talked to, like, you know, obviously yourself included, because you just said it, were more scared of the monkeys, but I was more scared of the witch. And I remember two really bad nightmares that I still can remember to this day when I was a kid that involved witches. So, like, that should have been on the list probably more than Terminator 2, but... I mean, I guess, like, which is worse, being scared of a witch or a nuclear holocaust? I don't know. probably the holocaust. But, no, I mean, I do remember two specific nightmares. I mean, they were so bad for me as a kid. Like, I can remember them to this day. And it's, like, really, it kind of freaks me out when I think about it a little bit. But, yeah. Yeah, that monkeys were nuts. And watching it now, I totally get it, though. Like, those monkeys were freaky.
Well, I think, yeah, I've also heard a lot of people afraid of the witch. And they even had... we've mentioned this on the show in the past. Mr. Rogers even did a special segment on his show to show you the actress Margaret Hamilton out of makeup and, like, you know, just to explain that she's just a person and this is how, like, you put on things for a movie. So, I mean, there was definitely a precedent, but I don't know. I guess in my brain, she just was recognizably human enough. And, the monkeys were inhuman. But, yeah, that's common.
And she does – well, I mean, she does easily – bite the dust at the end too. It's like, oh, you just have to throw water on a witch. There's plenty of water around here, so like, right. You're probably like more like your defense mechanism. Like, I don't know how you kill one of them monkeys without like shooting them, you know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, I do remember my mom always told me that when we first watched that, she'd be like, oh, isn't she funny looking? She's just a funny looking witch, you know, like kind of get me through it at first, because you know the first time you watch it, you're like super young and
right.
Yeah, it's just another one of those weird things. Like, why do they put creepy ass shit like that in a kid's movie? You know, I just don't understand. Ugh.
Yeah, you know, this has come up, I mean, in my just personal conversations. And I always come back to, even though, like, we're doing this whole show on all these traumatic moments for entertainment, and, you know, especially when we were really young, I'm grateful for that because I feel like it's, I don't know, it even though it sucks while you're dealing with it, like you're better off for it. I feel like it teaches you something. It generates something in your brain that, like, otherwise, I don't know, I guess kind of would take longer.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it probably like desensitizes you to a lot of things. Whereas in some cases, it probably would be better if you weren't desensitized to it, you know, but on the other hand, you can handle things a little bit better if you've been traumatized enough, like scared, you know, as a kid with fake things, you know.
Yeah, I'm not talking gore or anything here too extreme, but like you said, the jump scares or something.
Yeah, like generally dealing with like the stressful situation of being scared.
Yeah,
you know, like, exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Cool. Well, yeah, I knew you were going to bring that up because I know that's something that had always bothered you, stupid monkeys. So, like, I totally got it. Now, speaking of knowing what you're going to talk about, you can probably guess what my number one traumatizing moment is. And oddly enough, this movie, I remember seeing the trailers for it. They kind of made it seem like it was like a scary movie type / comedy. You know, like one of their first attempts at it, because the character that John Goodman plays in this movie is kind of like a, you know, like a weirdo, and it made it look like it was goofy. But the movie I'm talking about, of course, is Arachnophobia.
The Jennings have just moved to the perfect little town.
Smell that air.
Perfect, except for one pesky little problem.
It's just a spider.
Now, experts are moving in.
Over Clintock, infestation management.
Neighbors are moving out, and the Jennings are just trying to stay calm.
Yeah, chill out.
Hollywood Pictures and Amblin Entertainment present Jeff Daniels, John Goodman, Arachnophobia, a thrillomedy, rated PG-13. Now playing at a theater near you. Check newspapers for showtimes.
And yes. It has the distinct pleasure of being the thing, the singular thing that actually gave me arachnophobia, which I still suffer from to this day. So fuck that movie. whoever made it should be ashamed of themselves. Like, oh my God, I cannot even tell you, like, I'm to this day, I'm scared of spiders. Like, I cannot be near them. I can't even kill them hardly. They freak me out. I can't get over it. I mean, I'm going to have to go through like some kind of intense like psychotherapy or like hypnosis or something to get over it. But yeah, that movie really freaked me out and it really messed me up when it came to spiders. So
this is lawsuit material right here.
I know it almost is. I should just sue them. Just years of personal anguish. But you know, the thing, so basically the premise of the movie is that Jeff Daniels is a doctor, which is, you know, a weird role for him when, you know, you see a lot of, you know, you think of Jeff Daniels as Dumb and Dumber.
Right.
At least I do anyway. You know, which is funny because he was in one of the things that is one of my favorite things from, you know, childhood and one of the best comedies ever made. You know, the complete opposite of Arachnophobia, basically. But he plays a doctor that comes into town and he's like this young, like people think he's like young and inexperienced and he's supposed to be taking over for this older doctor who everybody in the town knows and, you know, really loves. They're kind of like leery of Jeff Daniels' doctor and people start dying in the town as soon as he shows up and they kind of start blaming him for it. But what happened is basically like this killer freaking poisonous spider from like the Amazon or something got into like a, you know, a thing of fruit in a grocery store and like starts somehow breeding and taking over the town and all these little spiders are going around biting people and killing them. And, you know, John Goodman's character is an exterminator who they made out to be hilarious, but the movie is not hilarious at all. It's terrible. If I haven't said that already. But yeah, and I think a big reason why it scares me so much is that they, you know, and it kind of fed into people that might have already had arachnophobia because in the movie they show like spiders getting into places where like if you had arachnophobia you'd worry about a spider being there.
Right.
Like they show a spider crawling into the toilet and then a guy sits down on the toilet right afterwards. Okay, so that freaks you out. Some lady gets in the shower and guess what? The spider's in the corner of the shower and it's gonna come down and bite her.
Right.
You know, some spider gets in the covers of your bed. It's like, so everything that you'd be scared about where a spider would be and freak you out, like they put it in the movie, so that didn't help. And I remember like that night I made my mom tuck the covers underneath my body and in bed so that nothing could get under the covers. Like I was that scared of getting bit by a spider. The only thing that was hanging out was my head and it was fine because I had my eyes. I could see, you know, right. Some of them was going to come and get me and I could just like fling the covers out and run, but yeah, nothing, everything. I had to sleep like that for months. Like I couldn't deal with it. It was horrible.
I've never actually seen it. I've kind of always wanted to. I remember the trailers, but are they all tarantulas in that movie? Or there's like, I don't know.
I think from what I remember, the actual, when they used a real spider, it was some form of a tarantula.
Yeah.
Cause a lot of it was like, you know, movie prop type stuff, but like the little baby spiders, I don't know if they're real or if they're just some kind of like really good puppeteering or, you know, animatronic or something,
right.
But they don't look like tarantulas from what I remember.
Mm.
But like, you know, when you see the spider crawling out, like at one point it looks like a tarantula, you know, that's funny. And the funny thing is too, like that's the only spider that doesn't scare me is a tarantula.
Yeah, that is funny.
Because yeah, they just have like, it's like they're furry.
Yeah.
And like they don't seem to do anything. So like if I saw one like in a pet store, I'd actually like look at it, but any other spider besides that, yeah, daddy long legs don't either, but that's it. Everything else is like off limits, man. But yeah, I just remember like one scene in the movie too, where he's trying to kill like the mother spider. It's like in the basement or something. And he's got like a lighter and like a can of spray paint or something to make like his own flamethrower.
Yeah.
And I remember the thing just like flings itself out of like the air duct and like latches onto his face. And he's like, ah, you know, and it's like, ugh, God, I couldn't even deal with it, man.
Of course.
I can't deal with it thinking about it right now.
I just remember it was either that movie or the commercials for it anyway. Or Home Alone, where I first saw a tarantula. And I think they both came out the same year.
Yeah, that would make sense. Around 1990.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll get around to it someday.
Yep,
it
is there isn't anything else to talk about with that. So.
I did. Yeah, you're right. I did always just assume it was like this black comedy kind of thing. Just the way they present it.
Mm-hmm.
And like the maniacal laughter of John Goodman.
Yeah, it's not really that funny.
Yeah. The John Goodman vehicle I saw in 1990 was King Ralph. So I missed out.
Oh yeah. Good stuff. Yeah.
Well, if we want to go to my number three, we have to go to the year before, in 1989. And that alone is probably a fairly good clue. But you might be scratching your head going, if it's what I think it is, what in that movie is all that scary? Well, let me tell you. In 1989, of course, the world was swept up in Batmania. And you, of course, were no exception to that, as I remember.
Yep.
So, yeah, the 1989 Tim Burton Batman is what we're talking about.
Batman. The critics call it spectacular, says Gannett Newspapers. Gene Shalit says Jack Nicholson is colossal. CBS TV says it's a terrific time at the movies. And Rolling Stone magazine declares it a triumph. You can't take your eyes off it.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
Critics rave Batman could be the movie of the decade. Rated PG-13. Now playing.
The scene in that movie... that for whatever reason, I loved it. I watched it over and over and over. But every time after the first time it came to this scene, I had to leave the room. And it's the part where the Joker busts in on the big meeting of the mob guys. And he uses his joy buzzer to electrocute the guy and then burn him to a fucking smoldering corpse. it didn't really have any lasting ramifications, but for probably all of the year I was 8 and into my into when I turned 9, I just could not stay in the room for that part. The rest of it was awesome though.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess like it is kind of like gruesome when you think about it. You know, when you look at all the other death in that movie, it's really like a lot of people just like uncontrollably laughing and then they drop dead. So it's not like it's very visually disturbing in the sense that like, you know, there's aren't any guts, but yeah, I mean, you see the guy get electrocuted and then all of a sudden he's a smoldering skeleton. I mean, that is pretty, that was a little freaky. You know, I could see that definitely doing something to you.
Yeah. For whatever reason, like the first time I watched that movie and that scene came out, I didn't freak out or anything. But it like, it did that thing where it just like sticks with you like way after you see it, and like it's still just kind of scratching at your brain like, hey, remember that part? And then so that got to me. By the second time I was like, yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah, you just keep thinking about it and thinking about it, then before you know it, it's like, you know what, that was terrible.
Yeah,
you're right, brain, thank you, it's awful, I can't watch it now.
Thanks, brain, you've successfully convinced me to be freaked out by something I was only mildly disturbed by.
Yep, and that is your first foray into what we adults like to call anxiety.
I made it to age 7 before having to deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, okay, those are our picks, so let's hit them with a quick recap.
It was nuclear holocaust, murder, and spiders, so boom.
And I had alien cornfield jump scares. Anthropomorphic monkey people. And the Joker's smoldering corpse joy buzzer. Huh.
That is an eclectic mix of trauma right there, I'll tell you what. Isn't it funny though how like, you know, stuff that you saw that I saw, like it didn't affect you the same way, but like, you know what I mean, like in like some of the things that affected you didn't really affect me, you know what I mean? Isn't that weird how like it just depends on like who you are and like, you know, your surroundings and stuff. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating, like what goes into determining all that. And if anything, we've learned today that one of us is afraid of much more realistic things than the other one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm afraid of real life. You're afraid of fantasy. Well, you know, a smoldering corpse isn't really, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of those to go around, but
true. Very true.
Well, see, that's the thing, like, because, like, you know, some people are more scared by realistic, like, life events, whereas other people are scared by, like, you know, the stuff in their nightmares, you know, which would be, right, like, a flying monkey that could, you know, fly, because monkeys don't fly, you know, like, this doesn't go together, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, so it is kind of, it is weird how, depending on who you are, like, how did your brain form, you know, to, like, be scared of a certain thing and not other things, you know, it's weird.
Right.
And you think, and to drive that point home, like, my dad isn't scared of spiders, but he's scared of snakes. You know what I mean? So, like, but I'm not scared of snakes. I used to try to catch snakes when I was a kid. You know what I mean? But, like, spiders, like, hell, I'm out of the room. You know, I'm moving.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Like, snakes are super common, and neither one of us really, you know, were super affected by that.
Yep. And ironically enough, my favorite comic book character growing up was Spider-Man.
Exactly. Look at that.
Like, why, how did that work? You know, so weird. I mean, he doesn't look like a spider, which is probably why, but, you know, how he got his superpowers is a very real thing that scared me, getting bit by a spider, and let alone a radioactive spider. See, a freaking spider caused by a Holocaust bites me, and then I become, you know what I mean? So there, that's how it went full circle. Mic drop, we're done.
All right. That's going to conclude this unsettling episode of the Nerd Bomber podcast. On behalf of Cousin Adam, I have been your friend Claude, reminding you once again that when life gets in the way of fun, make fun a way of life. We'll see you next time.
Nerd Bomber Podcast is a Ghost Factory Internet production brought to you by the WHAM Network.